Chapter 1 Pilgrims. "You should go to the Holy Land," said the editor-in-chief of America. We were sitting in my boss's office in the magazine's headquarters in New York City. "If you're planning to write a book about Jesus, it will be of great help." While I appreciated his advice, I was doubtful. Thanks to years of experience in the field of Jewish-Christian relations and multiple trips to Israel, Drew, a Jesuit priest like me, had a natural affinity for the loose geographic region known as the Holy Land. So I thought he was speaking more out of personal interest, much as a baseball fan might say, "You've got to visit the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown." As Drew prodded, my objections came to mind. For one thing, I had read the Gospels every day since entering the Jesuit novitiate, and I had pored over dozens of books about Jesus and prayed hundreds, maybe thousands of times over the gospel stories. What more could a trip teach me? Another friend voiced similar sentiments. We had read and heard these stories so often and had prayed about them so frequently that we had formed our own mental images of the places mentioned in the Gospels. I already knew what Bethlehem, Nazareth, Jerusalem, and the Sea of Galilee looked like because I had imagined those locales so often. We feared that laying eyes on locales overrun with tourists would sully our pristine mental pictures. Would seeing the ornate Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, one of history's original tourist destinations, supplant my own image of Jesus' tomb in first century Palestine? "I like my own gospel," said my friend. "Me too." "No," I responded to Drew's encouragement, "I don't think so." But gradually, I started to doubt my doubts. "Are you crazy?" said a friend who had visited the Holy Land several times. "How could you pass up a chance like that?" Then he added, "Don't you usually do your annual retreat in August? Why not go then and think of the pilgrimage as a retreat?" Finally, he said to clinch the argument, "You'll love it." My objections began to seem insignificant compared to the opportunity to see the land in which Jesus lived. Little by little, a plan took shape. The end of August would be a convenient time to go, though, as Drew pointed out, the weather would be brutally hot. Phone calls and emails to knowledgeable friends helped me map out a tentative agenda. My enthusiasm grew as I listed places to visit: the Sea of Galilee, Nazareth, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Bethany. Just thinking about seeing these places, which I'd long prayed about, filled me with joy. Of course I wanted to go. When I first entered the Jesuits, I told an older priest that the first thing that I would ask God when, or if, I made it to heaven would be to show me exactly what Jesus' life was like. "Please show me what the landscape looked like. Please show me what Jesus saw." Now I had an opportunity to realize something of that dream on this side of heaven. Then a friend reminded me that the Jesuits run a house in Jerusalem. The Pontifical Biblical Institute was founded in 1927 to house Jesuit biblical scholars studying in Jerusalem and archaeologists working on digs. Today, the Institute hosts Jesuits from around the world, students of all stripes who study at various universities in Jerusalem, and many pilgrims. And by happenstance, or providence, a Jesuit who had overseen the PBI for many years was spending a few weeks in my Jesuit community in New York. "The PBI would be perfect," he said, pointing out that it was located only a few blocks from the Old City. I had no clue what the Old City was, but it sounded reasonably important. He put me in touch with David, a Jesuit living there. A few emails later, I had a place to stay in Jerusalem. Another friend, a Jesuit studying in Rome, who had visited the Holy Land several times, helped me with another dilemma. should I sign up with a tour group? As a first-time traveler, I was worried about missing certain sites, not finding others, and overlooking the significance of some. I could imagine returning home and someone expostulating about a particular locale. You missed that? How could you overlook the most moving site in Galilee? You'll do fine without a tour company, my Roman friend wrote in an email. All you need is a reliable guidebook. Plus, you'll be able to spend as much time as you would like in each place. You can pray as long as you would like, which you might not be able to do as easily with a group. He had another piece of advice. Rent a car for your excursion to Galilee. Galilee? Wasn't that just outside Jerusalem? No, Drew explained patiently. It's several hours away. A quick glance at a map proved that despite my love of the Gospels, I knew almost nothing about the topography of the region.